honorable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital. Like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even. Your team gon' be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. Each season, champion contenders. We drop twice a week like you tryna guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker. I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here. I'm talking about this year. Banner 12 plus 6 here. Carson Edwards top rookie. I'm seeing it now. Ain't playing around with Tatum and Hayward or Brown. We off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvey Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up today. You heard? Aziz. AJ, I see you, man.
Welcome to Anything Is Possible! The Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan. And I am joined, as always, by the kid, the god, the legend himself, Celtics beat reporter for the Athletic, Jay King, ladies and gentlemen. And we are joining you live from rock bottom. We thought we were there a couple weeks ago. We thought we were there on Sunday. We thought we were there on Tuesday night. But no, no, we just arrived after a humiliating loss
return
to the Atlanta
trip
Hawks.
To rock bottom. Can we play that Eminem song? I love that Eminem song.
I don't know. I'm not going to put it in. I do all the work in terms of editing. So no, we're not going to play that Eminem song. But Jay, what do you make of this team? They have a give up a 24-point lead to the Pelicans. They put themselves in position to win the Mavericks game and then just get double daggered by Luka Doncic. And then they give up how many points did Danilo Gallinari? 10 threes and just absolutely get walked, just worked, ran off the court. What is going on here, bud? Like, cause I'm at a loss for words.
Nothing good.
No, sir.
Nothing good. And I think for a while, the Celtics struggles felt explainable, right? It was their supporting cast isn't great. Kemba Walker's been out. Kemba Walker has been inconsistent when he's played. Marcus Smart's been out for a long time. Guy's been in and out of the lineup. There are reasons for them to struggle. But lately it's gone from, okay, this is relatively explainable to, holy shit, these dudes have shown nothing. No fight, no togetherness. And I think they recognize that this is trouble time. Like Brad Stevens, always about process over results. Lately, he's been like, every game is a big game for us. Like, it's pivotal.
He put a lot of emphasis on like playing well in these next four games before the All-Star break, like more so on any regular season games than I can remember him doing.
Yeah, and normally, you know, he doesn't care about win, like obviously he cares about wins, but it's more about how his team's playing. But I feel like he really, really believes that this team needs to see something good happen. And that right now this team is in a bad place mentally. He said he thinks they've lacked confidence and have been unsure. And they have certainly been both of those things. It's just like just a troubling, troubling lack of passion and connectivity over the last four weeks?
Confidence. Like Danny Ainge, I'm pretty sure, said on the radio today they're not playing with confidence. Brad Stevens said the team's not playing with confidence. And it's almost like the players are aware of how bad their team is. Like, and the roster construction issues and the issues with Marcus Smart not being healthy.
But their team isn't bad. Like, their roster isn't perfect, but they have Jaylen Brown. They have Jason Tatum. Kemba Walker is still a threat, even though he hasn't played as well. He's played better lately. And so it's not like this is a terrible roster that should be in danger of missing the playoffs. But they have to do all the little things. They have no margin for error. And that's where they've kind of lost out on so many games the last several weeks. Like having a 24-point lead against New Orleans, just be solid the rest of the way and you win that game. But they weren't solid. And they didn't handle double teams well.
It feels like in the last week, Jason and Jalen have gotten more criticism because, frankly, people are sick of talking about all the roster construction issues and Kemba and Marcus Smart being hurt. So there needs to be another topic. But also, Jalen and Jason have not played as well as they did earlier in the season. Jaylen Brown certainly is no longer shooting 72% from the mid-range. Tatum looks to be short on a lot of kind of his mid-range game. But they have not really handled it well. And it's the first time, and I think Danny Ainge said this today on the radio, that they have been the go-to guys on the team and really had to face some adversity. Last year, there was not that much adversity for the Celtics in the regular season because they had so much depth that even when there were injuries, guys could step up. But right now, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it's the first time like the main focus is on them and it's entirely on them to set the tone. And it feels like they are really struggling. And it makes sense, I think, basketball wise, just how much they miss like just playmaking in terms of like getting into offense. Anytime it's a Jaylen in the bench lineup or Jason in the bench lineup, there's no ball movement. It's just basically those two guys trying to find their shots. And that seems like the best option at this point. It's like they are, who are they trusting around them to kind of make the right play or put the biscuit in the proverbial basket? And so I'm not really sure how they improve that. Maybe they need to, I guess, trust the process or trust their teammates more, but I don't know. It's just they're not playing, especially when they're out there with bench lineups, they're just not playing or surrounded by a lot of talent.
Yeah, and I think the lack of skill is very obvious around those guys. And obviously, like, they're not elite-level playmakers. And the guys around them, it's been well chronicled that a lot of them aren't great shooters, or at least great high-volume shooters, and don't really space the court. But it's also, like, they're not great passers. They're not great at attacking closeouts. They're not, like, any of those things. And so it's tough to build a good offense when you have those limitations. But also at the same time, lately, like, just all the little things the Celtics have stopped doing. They don't execute hard. They don't play hard. They don't even play hard on offense.
They don't run after on, like, fast breaks at all. Like, they don't start their offense till 14 seconds left in the shot clock. Like, I was watching the Hornets beat the Suns last night, and they're running off makes. They're playing with some energy. The Celtics do not look like a team that is like aggressive and trying to take the fight to the other team.
Yeah, they don't cut hard. They don't get into their offense early enough. They don't do any of those things that you need to do when you're a little undermanned. And you know, maybe they're thinking to themselves, we've reached the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the last 4 years. Like, this is a slog of a regular season. Everybody's dealing with something, whether it's, you know, the after effects of COVID, like Tatum, injuries, like everybody else. But at some point, like, they all have to lock in. And I know some of that is probably that the young guys are still learning and don't really aren't like advanced enough offensively or defensively to like really be sharp in a lot of stuff, but just play hard. If they just played hard, everything would be so much easier. And Tatum and Brown would get better opportunities. Other guys would get better opportunities. It's like, how do you not play hard offensively?
Some guys are, but it's like you need a combination of playing hard and then having the requisite talent to be able to make shots. Like, I think Daniel Tice plays hard. I also know that he's missed his last 18 three-pointers, and so that's not helping whatsoever. Aaron Nesmith has certainly been playing hard in his minutes off the bench. He just still is flying around and doing crazy things on chase down blocks and not necessarily making the right play, but I don't have the answer. I don't have the solution. I'm not really sure what more to say about this team. And that's why I put the question out to the listener gods out there for asking questions and topics what they want us to talk about. And this first one's from Chris Muddy. How did this team go from Eastern Conference Finals to sub 500? Don't say Gordon Hayward. Well, that's the major reason. So, like,
that's definitely
kind of a difficult thing there. But his second question is the team waving a white flag if Danny doesn't make a substantial trade by the deadline?
I don't know if waving a white flag would be the proper term. But, I mean, the Wick Grusbeck, the owner, has been open. They're not contenders. Danny Ainge, been open. They're not contenders. So they're 15 and 17. They have not played well at all. They are many rungs behind the Nets, many rungs behind the Sixers, many rungs behind many teams right now. And so it's just, I don't know if it'd be waving the white flag or what. I do think there should be some urgency, though, to use that trade exception and improve the depth. I think it's obvious this team, I think Danny Ainge said it on the radio, that they need like a swaggy, dynamic offensive player.
But they didn't, like, who is the guy? Who is
Jordan Crawford? Sounds like Jordan Crawford to me.
I mean, like, Danny, anytime he goes on the radio and describes who he wants to trade, is just making up a player who doesn't exist or would never be available. He wants a superstar who's huge, can shoot the three, guard multiple positions, and brings in that swagger. Like, what, that type of player doesn't get traded. And so he also said on the radio today that it's possible that they use the trade exception in the offseason, where it's kind of easier to make a deal then. But it's very interesting. It takes two to tango in making a trade. But if they don't think they're contenders this year and don't think a trade can necessarily turn them into contenders, do you go full tank mode? Like, it's supposed to be a great draft class. If you don't think you're ever going to beat the level of the Nets or the Sixers, it's kind of interesting. And then do you lose the locker room if you go to full tank mode? I'm shocked I'm even talking about tank mode, but I just seen it across my timeline recently. It's just, I feel like they need to make a trade just to kind of change the vibes. But
well, here's the thing. To go into tank mode, what would you do? Because they should be very happy with their two best players. Kemba Walker, their third best player, has not been good. His trade value is probably at an all-time low right now.
Are you saying the team is can't tank?
The guys that you would want to trade are the guys who have not been good. So what tank mode move beyond just sitting Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown?
No back-to-backs for anyone. You either are a first night of a back-to-back guy or a second night of a back-to-back guy.
Tanking should not and is not a viable answer, if you ask me. It is absurd that we are even bringing that up
for a team
that has reached the conference finals three of the last 4 years, but that's where the Celtics are right now.
It's the last time they've been under 500 since this late in the season, since the Gigi Datome era. So shouts to Gigi for getting some reference. But
this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Who knows? We got some people upset with Brad, Daniel McGrath, and Ruby Banger. Dan is upset with Brad's laissez-faire, let him play attitude. And Ruby is upset with the iso ball, no off-ball movement. How much is this Brad Stevens' fault? I feel like we're constantly talking about this, but What do you think about his laissez-faire approach or how he's like dealing with this team? He mentioned in his post-game press conference that he said some words to the team. He's not going to share them with the media, but he's had his moments.
I mean, obviously, one of Brad's beliefs about basketball is he wants good ball movement. And that's something he is always going to stress. That's something he has emphasized for this team. For whatever reason, that has not happened. And I mean, I think part of that falls on Tatum and Brown, but I think more of it falls on the roster construction and the fact that beyond those guys, like, they don't have anyone who knows how to play in the NBA. Really. Like,
they don't have any guys.
Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson, and Daniel Theis know how to play in the NBA, right? Like, those
Jeff
are.
Jeff Teague had his best game of the season last night.
Teague has not been good. But
you're not giving any love to Semi Ojeleye? He doesn't know how to play?
Semi knows how to play in the NBA, but he's not a passer. He's not a driver. He's not. He's become a better shooter, but like, there's just. So. That I think ball movement, the way the roster is created, was always going to be an issue. It is exacerbated because Marcus Smart, one of the premier ball movers on this team, has been out for so long. And it is exacerbated because Kemba Walker is not playing back-to-backs. And when he and Smart are both out, there is a total lack of playmaking, like a void, an entire void of playmaking around Tatum and Brown.
Fast PP has really come down to earth in terms of his ability to do really much, like anything. Like, you would think he's the primary backup point guard. He, like, a lot of the responsibility for playmaking would fall on his shoulders. But no, it's basically just Brown and Tatum trying to playmaking. And they're doing like okay job. Jaylen's assist numbers are up. But that's just like not their primary skill or talent. They are scorers, and so they are going to look to score. I don't know what you do. I think, like, it's weird because some fans are going to be pissed off no matter what. If you really focus on ball movement, then it's like an egalitarian offense, and fans are like, well, why aren't Tatum and Brown taking more shots? And then Tatum and Brown take a bunch of shots, and it's like, oh, the ball movement's not there. It's hard to have this kind of make the right read egalitarian offense and then also funnel your entire offense through two guys. It's just a difficult thing to do. And with those two guys, it'd be easier if they had shooters around them, so they had more spacing. But the Celtics, with the kind of current injuries, they couldn't even run out a roster with four shooters. And like Rob Williams or Daniel Theis, they don't have four shooters. They have three and a half. If you give Aaron Nesmith a half, but that's about it. Like, they don't, they're, that's just not possible for them. And so in the modern NBA, I don't know what the solution is other than, like, let's give the ball to Tatum and Brown and see what they can do.
Yeah, and teams know that, right? And so teams are loading up on those guys. And they know, first of all, that the guys around them aren't great shooters, but they also know that Tatum and Brown aren't great passers. And so the, like, everyone's issues have exacerbated everyone else's issues on this team, and it's just gotten bad lately. It's gotten bad. What did you think when you heard that Wick on TV basically said that, or radio, whatever he was on, basically said that Brad and Danny are safe and everyone is dumb? What was your initial reaction?
I was not surprised whatsoever. I mean, that's how I feel, and it feels like that's like the way the organization feels. I don't know. I like, people are really clamoring for Brad's job. I think that's ridiculous. I think he's pretty much overachieved every year he's been the Celtics coach. It's been a bad year this year. Danny Ainge, he won a championship and got to another finals. He's done pretty good in terms of the rebuild and take multiple cracks at the championship window. I don't know. I just don't see the Celtics. They don't fire guys. Like, when they've had what, two coaches in the, since whenever Doc started, like the past 15 years, I don't even know. It's I was just shocked to see anything like that. And what else is Wick supposed to say? Like, well, if Brad loses the next three games, he's going to be on the chopping block. I thought it was also an interesting point that he said, if those guys get fired, they're immediately on the top of the list for every other team in the league. Like, that's a great point. If you fire Brad, who are you bringing into your to coach up the Celtics who are really going to inspire them to play better basketball? There's all that like effort and trying thing that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, but we just talked about like just the flawed design on this team in terms of roster construction. What coach is able to come in there and like make it so Tristan Thompson can shoot threes, or that they're like fifth, sixth, and seventh best players are not all centers? Like, no coach can change that.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep in mind that the Celtics ownership has proven that they're not going to judge a coach based on wins and losses. I think, you know, Doc Rivers, before they formed the Big Three, there were some tough years. And they didn't put it all on Doc. They thought Doc was the right guy to lead that team. And he proved them right by winning the 2008 title. And so they have a much better view of everything than we do, because they're allowed to be in on practice and they have conversations with everyone. And so they know kind of more, they're more equipped to know who's at blame. But it is a mess. It's a mess right now. And the Celtics, like, I think it's very important what they do with that trade exception. And I think it's very important over these next few years what they do to build a roster around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because the roster right now is not good enough. They can definitely play better. I think I'm in the camp that when Marcus Smart comes back and Kemba Walker is able to play every game, that they'll still be pretty good. This team will be pretty good. But we stressed it from the beginning that this year was going to be a lot tougher when the Celtics dealt with injuries. We didn't know how many injuries they would deal with. And I honestly think that their lack of success has snowballed on them. And it's impacted the effort. It's impacted the attention to detail. It's impacted everything. And I just think that it's just kind of built up on them to the point that right now they just ain't playing good basketball.
Okay, so we've got
great analysis from the kid.
We've gotten a lot of theories as to why that is. And Bryce Wong suggests the loss of Vinny and his magical sex pants has directly led to the downfall in the Celtics chemistry.
I would say it's still Yabu,
that's possible.
The true locker room leader.
Dallas Nelson suggests that it's my fault for slandering Rudy Gobert, and he's obviously placed some sort of French curse on the team. I'm never going to apologize for Gobert's slander.
The French curse is the Yabu curse.
That it all comes back to Yabu. Now, here's some very important questions. This is from Harriet Scruff. Can you use your clout and organize some kind of ritual to unfuck the vibes? Like, what are you doing? Like, Aaron Wimay asks, what are you doing to fix the situation, Jay?
This is beyond our powers. I am just tasked with writing about the team, podcasting about the team. I am doing absolutely nothing to attempt fixing the Celtics roster. However, I do talk about a lot what they need to fix, and I will continue doing that.
I'm just going to post through it. You're just going to keep on posting. Just laughing my ass off, having a great time, refusing to be mad online because that's the only way to survive.
There's a lot of mad online people, man.
People are furious.
My mentions are just a horrible place to be right now. People are
upset.
They're mad at me.
Well, should be. You were reporting things, just reporting what you see. What a jerk. Brian Pickett suggests that we blame this all on Evan Turner. Now, I'm not going to blame Evan Turner, but I will say I think we need to hear from him. I think that might go somewhere to unfucking the vibes of just having more Evan Turner press conferences. People would be generally happier, a bit of a distraction from what's going on, but just an idea.
They need to empower Evan Turner.
I agree. All right, let's get to the potable six pack. It's the most important things, the six most important things from the past couple of games. Jay, would you like to defer or take the first pick?
I'm taking the first pick. Brad Stevens getting his identity stolen. That is by far the most important thing that has happened to the Celtics the last few weeks. It's not really funny when someone gets their identity stolen. I imagine it leads to a lot of headaches, and it can probably be, you know, an anxious time when someone steals your identity and is trying to open up lines of credit in different places. However, however, I laughed my ass off when he said that someone stole his identity and was trying to open up a line of credit at Target. Like, what?
And that was one of his better days. That and getting a root canal was like the highlight of the past 2 weeks for him.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. That was as good as it gets, as good as it's gotten the last few weeks. I once had someone stole like my credit card number. I still had my credit card, but someone stole the number and used it at a Walmart in Miami to buy like $1,000 worth of goods at Walmart. Like, what a move.
That's a hefty purchase. That's a what full a cart move. Right there. Or it's just like one iPhone.
I got a call. Like, you just used this in Massachusetts and in Miami within an hour. So something's wrong.
Something is up.
But someone got Brad too. He got.
All right. My first pick is going to be just the mere presence of Marcus Smart on the sideline in Dallas, rocking a cool pigtails look. I just thought he looked cool. And then obviously picking up a tech while injured on the bench is just absolutely badass. Nothing you can want more from your injured player. He's trying to involve himself in the game. And so I love him. I trust him. Marcus Smart showing up for his guys.
Huddling up the guys at halftime, trying to coax them to play well. They did not.
All right, I'm going to do an honorable mention for Jason Tatum and Draymond Green Subway commercial. Pretty humorous, Bacon Tatum.
You can't pick honorable mentions before I have a chance to go.
Was that one of your picks?
But then you take possibilities away from me. You can't be doing this. This is a habit, and it needs to stop.
I'll take one I know you're not going to pick. Tremont Waters lineup looks amazing, and he had an amazing final 6 minutes of that game. That was the best Tremont Waters performance I've ever seen. I think it's directly related to the haircut.
The King Brothers group chat was fired up about the lefty pass. That was awesome.
It was amazing. You know who taught him that is Hornets assistant coach Nick Friedman, his pre-draft training partner. Been working with that pass for all of pre-draft, and so I loved it. He knocked down a 3-2. It's the best Tremont performance we've ever seen.
That was a fantastic Tremont performance. I will not lie. I'm going to pick. It's been a lot of negativity the last couple weeks. Much, much negativity. I am going to pick a positive stretch. Ooh. The last 5 minutes of the Mavericks game before Lucas ripped out the Celtics' hearts. That was the best the Celtics have looked in a while.
They were good. Aaron Nesmith finishing small with Nesmith.
They were switching and scrambling and playing hard. It was Celtics basketball. It didn't last long. Luka ended it, stomped on the Celtics' dreams. They came back.
All the dummies came out. Hold on.
Completely shitted themselves.
And said that it's Nesmith's fault for those Luka threes. You are an idiot if you blamed Aaron Nesmith for that. Luka hit a ridiculous step back. Yes, that he's capable of doing so. But if you blame switching or Aaron Nesmith being in the game for that loss, you are a bona fide dummy. And it made me mad online.
And then my other pick is Brad saying essentially that he's cussed out this team. And you better believe he has cussed out this team. I just enjoyed that because he was like, guys, do you think I'm always as mild-mannered as I seem to you? Or do you think that I watch this and I light some motherfuckers up? Let me tell you, I light some motherfuckers up.
That is
in other words, but
That was a great Brad anger translator, because he would never say that phrase, but you interpreted his exact energy. I'm going to have to finish up the Potable six pack with just saying Gary Washburn's killing me. He is at all of these games and tweeting before like my stream. And since it's been nothing but bad news, I'm just seeing Wash's tweets on my timeline. Just like, his best one was, I'm not even going to tell you what Trae Young just did after he bounced it off Grant Williams' back. And I'm just being a complete Celtics homer and I'm blaming Gary for my own being like frustrated with the team. But I swear to God, his tweets increase the worse the Celtics play. And so I had to mute Wash during the games, because every time it would just be like, dagger from Wash, another Danilo Gallinari three. It's just like, oh my God. And he's like just doing his job at the games. But oh my Lord, it's just painful to see him come across my timeline, because it was never good news.
Tough. It's been a tough stretch for the Celtics.
It's been a tough stretch, but you know, we got more games coming. Maybe it can get worse. We don't know, but we'll, if it does, we'll be there to talk about it. And if it gets better, we'll absolutely be here to talk about it. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. If you like, please rate 5 stars, subscribe, review, do all those good things. And thank you for listening to this episode of Anything is Possible!